From North State Public Radio, I'm Ava Nora Grove with your headlines for Tuesday, November 12th. With winter on its way, there's a higher chance of rain, and this year, a higher chance of flooding in Chico. According to Butte County officials, multiple significant watersheds have been impacted by the park fire, and areas downstream of the burn scar are likely to see severe flooding. Joshua Pack is the county's director of public works.
Concerns include debris from, you know, burned trees and other material, sediment and mud and just other muck coming down, which could create issues and clog things up.
Areas that could be affected include Big Chico Creek, Kiefer Slough, Rock Creek, and Mud Creek. Pack says Chico and the county's public works, law enforcement, and fire departments are working together to minimize risk. County officials are also recommending residents prepare for potential emergencies by buying flood prevention materials. They also encourage people to sign up for emergency alerts for safety precautions. And an investigation of conditions that led to the Shoe Fire found a Shasta County landowner responsible. According to the U.S. Forest Service, the 5,000-acre fire began in a meadow on his private land. Law enforcement officials concluded the landowner lost control of an unpermitted burn he was attempting. It then spread onto adjacent properties and national forest land. The suspect has been charged with violating federal law but has not been identified. The Shoe Fire reached 100% containment over the weekend. And Butte County's library could soon be getting more than $20,000 in extra funding for literacy programs. NSPR's Eric Adams reports its annual state grants this year provided more than expected.
County supervisors will discuss approving the extra library funds, which come from several grants. One of those grants is for a Zip Books program, which County Librarian Misty Wright says allows the library to order books from retailers and send them directly to residents' homes.
The patron then reads the book, and then they bring it back to us whenever they're done, and then we can choose whether or not we're going to add it to the collection if it, you know, fits our collection development guidelines.
Also included are state-funded adult literacy grants to help fund staffing and materials for services like adult reading and English as a second language programs. Wright says the literacy grants amount was higher than anticipated.
The reason those are on the agenda are because when we were making our budget, we were not aware of how much we were going to get, and I believe we got more than we were expecting, so we're just putting the extra amount.
The changed budget now needs to be approved. County supervisors are expected to vote during today's meeting. Supervisors meet at 9 a.m., and the meeting is open to the public. In Chico, I'm Eric Adams.
According to the latest vote count, Butte County's Measure H is passing by a large margin. NSPR's Ken Duvall reports the measure could add a 1% sales tax that could fund emergency and other services.
Butte County's District Attorney Mike Ramsey says the additional dollars provided by Measure H would make a significant difference.
What that means for my office is raising the salaries of deputy district attorneys so I can attract people. I am non-competitive right now when surrounding counties pay $20,000 to $50,000 more than we can pay at our current rate.
He says the DA's office needs about 30 assistant district attorneys to handle the current caseload. There are now just 17. That means his office is only able to prosecute the most serious crimes. Lesser crimes like theft receive a lower priority and may never be tried. He says comparatively lower salaries weren't as big a problem in the past because they were offset by relatively low housing costs. But that changed after the campfire, which placed severe strain on the local housing stock. In Chico, I'm Ken DeBall.
Finally, Friday marked 6 years since the campfire devastated many communities in Butte County. NSPR has been speaking with those working in recovery. Today, we hear from Amy Rohr, executive director with the Valley Contractors Exchange. She works on rebuilding in the burn scar and assisting contractors and homeowners with their plans. NSPR's Ken Duvall spoke with Rohr about what has changed over the past 6 years.
I'm still amazed by the lack of trees that are in the area, but there is a lot of infrastructure, undergrounding of utilities, all new roads, new school facilities, and just really the community coming together like they never have before.
And how have you seen the focus change in terms of recovery?
Yeah, over the past 6 years, there's been a big shift in who's actually rebuilding. You know, early on after the fire, it was predominantly pre-fire owners wanting to return to their properties. We saw that begin to shift in 2022 and into 2023. It's largely speculation builders that are going up and rebuilding the homes. About 50% are returning, and then 50% are spec builders, either, you know, that have been in the area forever or that are new to the area that are building homes with the intent of selling them.
Okay, and what would you consider to be the major challenges at this point?
Unique to our area, I would say overwhelmingly it's the geography of the land. It's hilly. You're all on septic. There's no sewer service. You've got to provide new PG&E pedestals. So it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. These are not square lots that are flat. Not unique to our area, but, we share this among all fires. Insurance, interest rates, workforce shortages, those are just normal barriers to rebuilding.
Could you talk a little bit about the problems that you see getting contractors to come into some of the outlying areas?
You know, when you talk about rebuilding and the town of Paradise itself, it's about 30% rebuilt. But when you start looking at the county, it's more like 15% rebuilt. The farther you move away from quote-unquote urban areas like Paradise, and go into the rural communities, it's just harder to get contractors out there, to get specialty contractors out there, to get your materials delivered, especially when you're talking up in Concow or Berry Creek. You have to navigate long dirt roads.
What would you like people who maybe aren't familiar with the area, what would you like them to know about recovery?
I think what I'd like people to know about recovery 6 years after is just that we've still got a lot of work to do. It's also an economic development issue for our region. We know that the businesses can't return because the houses haven't returned. The houses are slow in returning because of workforce, insurance, interest rates. And this is going to have a ripple effect, not only in the Camp Fire burn scar, but also in our Tri-County region.
So there's a catch-22 there.
There really is. So if you think, you're not affected by it because you live in Chico, the fact of the matter is you are. There's a number of projections moving into 2030 that have to do with workforce shortages and housing unavailability and the fact that we've lost over 14,000 homes in the Camp Fire and then another, 448 in Park Fire and then another, 600 in Dixie Fire and then North Complex Fire. Basically, we're losing the houses quicker than we can rebuild them, and that's definitely going to have a ripple effect.
Anything else you think listeners would like to or should know?
New construction is not affordable. People talk about large plan developments in Butte County that maybe didn't pass approval or referendum, and a lot of people saying, well, why can't they just build those in Paradise? But when you're a builder going in to develop a piece of property, there's not a one-size-fits-all approach when you're dealing with geography and hilly terrain and lack of infrastructure.
Is there a way of stating what proportion of those people are coming back, people who lost their homes in the fire and versus people who were new to the area?
It's not a perfect science, but just a snapshot in 2023, 184 survivors rebuilt and returned to their properties, or at least they didn't sell the property after. Some of them may be renting as well. 8 survivors rebuilt and sold the property. 84 were not the original owner, so they bought a lot after the fire and then rebuilt and didn't sell the home. And then in 2023, 189 spec homes, either stick-built or manufactured homes, were built on the ridge and compared to 184 that were pre-fire owners. So you can really see that shift in 2023. It's not pre-fire owners returning at this point.
That was Valley Contractors Exchange Executive Director Amy Rohrer speaking with NSPR's Ken Duvall. NSPR also spoke with other survivors of the Camp Fire and those working in recovery. We'll be airing those conversations in Morning Edition this week. And those are your headlines for Tuesday, November 12th. Our theme song is Burrow and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. For more local and state news, head to our website, mynspr.org. For NSPR News, I'm Eva Noor Grove.